Father, we thank you for this is the day that you have made. We rejoice, we are glad in it, and we're glad for you. We're glad that you are who you said you are. We're glad that you created all things and that you hold all things together. We're glad that you lead us in our lives. We thank you so much for your leading this morning and for your presence among us. And we just love to be in your presence. We love to be next to you, around you, interacting with you. It's such a delight that you love us. You cherish your creation so much that you would come down and be with us. That is absolutely amazing and mind-blowing and sometimes confusing to even wrap our minds around and our hearts around, but you've done it. And we want to praise you. We want to glorify you. And we want to ask that you would speak to us this morning through your word, through this next little time we have. And we thank you for your scriptures. Thank you that you speak to us, that you are present with us with your spirit, and you speak to us through your scriptures, through your word. We love you. We commit this morning and this message to you. B'shem Yeshua, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I was thinking of that song as we ended up worship this morning, how sweet it is to be loved by you. I don't know, that one just kind of popped in. I think about that for the Lord. I feel like that. Does anybody else feel like how sweet it is to be loved by the Lord? So good. So wonderful. He deserves it all. Well, this morning, you know, obviously we want to, again, thank you so much for your grace. I know that a lot of us were planning on coming to Shabbat last week, and we had a snowstorm that we weren't exactly sure what was going to happen with it. And I know the east side of town got blasted, and the west side of town didn't get much. And so thanks for your grace and understanding. And as we had to, we made the decision to postpone until this week. But just for future reference, we are going to make sure that the website is updated. So as we're coming up into that season where we have kind of unpredictable things, we want to, you know, we want to be able to meet. We care about meeting. And if we can, we want to. But we also care about your safety. And we realize it's tricky to sometimes to get out. So so check out the website, churchinthecity.org, for updated information on the snow stuff. And so if you're ever wondering, oh man, it's kind of nasty out there, I wonder if we're going to be having service, that's the place to check, okay? All right. Well, so this morning, you know, because of that snowstorm last week, you know, the Torah portion was actually around Abraham. And Abraham is such a central figure of our faith. Like Robin mentioned this morning that, you know, kind of this, the father of the, I believe she said the father of the monotheistic religion. So one God is really Abraham. And, you know, obviously, you know, Abraham would be considered the father of obviously our belief as believers, followers of Yeshua, Christians, and also the Jewish people, and also Muslims. So that's a monotheism. Again, not to say that you know what we believe is the same thing as what everybody else believes, but it is interesting, and that it all kind of points back to Abraham. And Abraham was just a fascinating kind of a guy. And so, so as we kind of look at this parasha that we looked at from last week, we just recognize that there's some really interesting things about his life that we want to make sure that we kind of look at. And I believe that there's some real applications to our own lives today from Abraham's life. And let's take a look at some of those things. And so first of all, we look at Abraham and these scriptures that I was looking at actually from last week were Genesis 12 through 17. And really here we have Abraham, who's actually at the time called Abram, which is kind of interesting. So Abram at the time, he has been really blessed by the Lord. You know, the Lord chose Abram and he told him to go and leave this land that you're familiar with and go into the land that I will show you. And so Abram said, well, all right, let's go. He didn't say, when are we going? And, you know, like our kids say from the back seat, are we there yet? He was just like, all right, well, I guess we're going. So he left everything familiar and he leaves and he goes to this land that God shows him. And obviously he's just got this really fascinating kind of story. And so we kind of pick up with this story and we're going to look at Abram at the time. And here we see that he's got lots of possessions and promises from the Lord. So the Lord at this point has already kind of promised to make him into a great nation and to bless him to move through his life. So in chapter 15, we see that the Lord leads him outside and tells him to go look up at the stars. And he says these stars are going to be like his descendants, more numerous than that. It's in Genesis 15, starting in verse 1, it says this. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my state is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. He was getting real with the Lord right there. Then the Lord of the Lord came to him and said, this man will not be your heir, but a son is coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Put a pause right there. So here we have Abram, or Abraham, and he's really kind of wrestling with this. He's saying, you know, I've got all these promises. God, you've clearly brought me out. You've called me to leave this everything that I kind of knew, and I'm out here, and I was obedient, and you've promised to make me into a nation, a great nation. But I don't even have any heirs, and he's getting up there in age, and he's getting real with the Lord. And so one thought I want to say is, it's okay for you to get real with the Lord. God is not afraid of wrestling with you. I remember one pastor said one time, this is something that really stuck with me, he said, you know, God's not afraid of a wrestling match. Because what's going to happen is you're going to wrestle with God, and he's going to pin you down and show you some things. So it's okay to wrestle with God. And here we see the kind of relationship, the kind of connection that Abraham had with the Lord. And he was like, well, God, you said this, but here I am. Like, I don't even have any heirs. All this possessions and blessing, that's great. But who's the heir going to be? Like, you said there's going to be a great nation, but I don't even have any kids, Lord. So he's wrestling with the Lord. And I think one of those things that we can derive from that God wants us to talk to him. Sometimes we talk at him versus with him. God wants us to dialogue with him. God wants us to take every single care that we have, every single thing that's going on in our life, and take it to him and talk to him about it. And I mean really talk to him about it, and those things that maybe feel heavy and hard, those things that are challenging, and like, Lord, I felt like you called me to do this. I felt like you brought me here, but here I am, and I'm not understanding why I'm here. I think we all go through seasons and challenges in life where we're not sure what God is doing or where he's at, but you know, he wants us to talk to him. And sometimes he'll answer, and sometimes he's silent. But it does something for our own hearts to know that we can always go before the Lord. And I think this is one of the things that God really loved about Abraham, is that he was willing to talk to him. He's willing to enter into this dialogue and be honest with the Lord. And in verse 6, after the Lord spoke, this verse 6 is really powerful because it says that Abram believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. So belief equals righteousness. When you believe what the Lord said, it is credited as righteousness. You know, Abraham is one of those amazing figures in the scriptures that's mentioned in Hebrews 11, which is what we call the faith chapter, right? And it's all these kind of like, well, we'd say like heroes of the faith. You know, by faith, this person did this. By faith, this person did this. And Abraham's in there. And it's amazing because Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. I think we're all pretty familiar with that, but there's something so very powerful about actually believing the Lord. There's something so powerful at taking him and his word. as saying, you know what, though I don't see, though I don't understand everything, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to believe what you said. I'm going to live in accordance with what you said. I'm going to take you at what you say. I'm going to follow your spirit. I'm going to follow your leading, and I'm going to be obedient. There's something so powerful about just believing the Lord. Amen? There's something powerful about just taking him at his word. Take him at his word. This is Hebrews 11. Again, we're jumping over to Hebrews 11 and what it says about Abraham here, or Abram. It says, Hebrews 11, this is 8 through 12. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs, with him who made the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he was considered him faithful who had made a promise. And so from this one man, as he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. I love the way the scripture puts things sometimes. God's got a sense of humor. I think this is just kind of funny to me. It's just kind of like, he was as good as dead. I mean, he's got one foot in the grave, and God causes him to be the heir, or causes him to be the father of many nations. Incredible. But Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Incredible. That's amazing. Has God spoken to you in your life? Has God instructed you on something? Has God wanted to give you insight and wisdom? Do you believe him? Do you believe him? Do you take him at his word? Do you say, okay, you said it, I believe it. You said it, I'm staking my life on it. You said it, I'm going to trust everything to how it comes about, the way it should look, the way it should work out. I'm going to trust that to you. And I'm going to be obedient. I'm just going to say yes. There's things in our lives that God has spoken to us. And he said, be faithful. Take me at my word. And God is not like men. We can't tell him what to do. We can't boss him around. We can't say, oh God, would you please hurry up? We can say it, but he's like, oh, I'm not late. He shows up exactly when he means to, and he's always right on time. I remember, you know, there's been so many times in my life that he showed up in the 11th hour. I mean, I'm talking like 11:59 and something needed to happen by midnight. And boom, he showed up and did it. Time and time and time again. And those things should remind us of his faithfulness. I think that Abraham at this time was remembering, wow, you know, God called me out and he actually has been protecting me. He's been with me. He's been leading me and guiding me. And while I can bring this frustration to him and I can say, Lord, what are you going to do here? And he said, your heir's not going to come through one of your servants. I'm going to give you an heir out of your own body. And Abraham, what did he do? He decided to believe him. He's as good as dead, and he decided to believe him. He's like, I'm old, man. Listen, I feel like I'm past my time for bearing kids. But he still believed God. Again, age is nothing to the Lord. Our age here on earth, listen, God, you know, God has a plan for every single one of us. And if you have breath in your lungs, God's got a plan for you. There's more for you. God wants you to engage with him, not disengage. The enemy would have us take our foot off the gas pedal and say, you know what, I'm just going to ride out this life. I'm kind of done. You know, I want to go, you know, maybe move to Palm Springs or, you know. Listen, God's got something for you. If he calls you to Palm Springs, go to Palm Springs. But I'm talking about kingdom faithfulness. I'm saying yes to the Lord and being obedient to the call that's on God's life, because his gifts and his callings are without repentance, and he has things for you to do and to say. He's looking for obedience like Abraham gave to him. You know, None of us ultimately know how things are going to turn out, right? We don't know what's going to happen in life. And our lives are so full of twists and turns. And I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that was going to happen. And I didn't know this circumstance was going to work out this way. I mean, in my own life, I would say even right now, you know, the past couple of years, there's been such difficulties and things that I just never saw coming. Never saw it coming. But it came. And it absolutely, in a lot of ways, wrecked my plans. Destroyed a lot of things in my life. Tore down things. Went through a season of extreme loss and grief and pain. But the one thing that never went away was God in His presence. He never forsook me. He never left me. He never left me alone. He walked with me. And I didn't know a lot of what was going on, but I did know one thing, is that I wanted to believe who He was and what He said, and that He was going to carry me through that difficult season. And sure enough, He did that, you know. And there's something about Abraham recognizing God as a shepherd. He's basically called to leave everything that he knows, and he's looking at God as a shepherd. And in that ancient culture, you know, that shepherding, that agricultural lifestyle, they knew what it meant to depend on the shepherd. Those animals that went out in the desert places where, I mean, this isn't exactly like they're living in Ireland over here where there's a lot of green, fertile grass. They're making good butter, you know. Like, this is like desert land. You have to know where to find greenery to feed the flock. You have to know where to find water. And the shepherd bears a great responsibility to be able to do that and to be able to care for the sheep. And the good shepherd was a good shepherd for Abraham, and he knew where to lead him. And Abraham believed him, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, this idea of God as a good shepherd. And as I think about Abraham's life, I say, wow, Lord, you really led Abraham around. You led his life, and you spoke to him, and he responded to you. This shepherding thing is so powerful. I know that we kind of talk about this a lot at the church about God being a good shepherd, but let's look at this scripture from John 10, and this is verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. It's Yeshua talking. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand is not a shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. The Lord said, I am a good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Did you know, hold on one sec. Yeshua is talking about you. He had you in mind. Literally you in mind when he said that. The Lord God himself said that there's these other sheep, but they're not of this pen. These other sheep are you and I. It is every single person who has placed their faith and trust in Yeshua Jesus as Lord since this scripture was spoken. He's speaking about us. They too will listen to my voice. There will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So this heart of a shepherd to care for the sheep, to lay down his life for his sheep. And as we know, Yeshua entered into our story. He became like one of us. As my dad and I were talking about this morning, he became like one of us. How profound is that? That the shepherd sees the sheep and he comes down and he says, I'm going to lead you. Come with me. And Abraham was one of these servants who said, okay, I'm going to follow you. I want to be obedient to you. Take me and lead me. Abraham had faith. Abraham had faith. He was looking at something with the eyes of faith when he couldn't see it in the natural. Faith is, again, one of those important things, and it can only be activated before something happens. Again, I don't need to have faith in something that happened yesterday because it's in the past. Faith is future-focused. He said, God said, I'm going to make you a father of nations. So he had faith, and he had to activate it through belief. Faith is like believing that something is going to happen. It's activating. It's active. It has movement. So when we activate our faith is when we believe in something that God has said. God wants to live us to live as believing believers, not just people who know scripture, who could rattle off some scripture, who can recite some things, who can look a certain way, maybe show up to some services. No, God wants us to be believing believers, to live our lives in a way where we actually believe what this book says. We believe in what the Holy Spirit is doing. We believe that God has a heart for people. To be believing believers. And when we do, just like Abraham, it's credited to us as righteousness. He looks down on a big smile on his face when we come to him and say, God, I don't know. I'm as scared as heck. I don't know what's going to happen right now. I'm terrified. I don't know how this is going to happen. God, you said that you're going to bless me, but I don't even have any kids. You said you're going to make me a father of nations. And I'm like 80 years old and I don't have any kids. The Lord said, you're going to have kids. And he says, okay, cool. I wonder how this is going to work. That'll be interesting. And you know what? One of the things, as I'm reflecting about Abraham, I love that Abraham's like us. You know, sometimes we're going to get in this kind of like perspectives that these, you know, fathers and mothers of the faith were these, you know, kind of flawless human beings who did this and did that. And, you know, like, no, I mean, Abraham screwed up. So like right after this happens, right after we see this, you know, like he believes the Lord and the Lord credits to him his righteousness. There's this other, you know, the Lord causes him to go into a deep sleep, reiterates this, makes this covenant with him. It's absolutely incredible. And then the next thing you know, all of a sudden, we get to chapter 16. So immediately after this kind of encounter with the Lord and this, you know, the Lord's reaffirming what he just said, and Abram believes God, is credited to him his righteousness. Then we have Genesis 16, and this is verses 2 through 6. I'm going to back it up to start in 1. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. Abram's like, all right, that sounds pretty good. Maybe Hagar was looking good. I don't know. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai took his wife from her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, or Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew that she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servants into your arms, and now she knows that she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. Abram said, well, your servant is in your hands. Abram said, do with her whatever you think is best. And Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Okay, so here we have a really interesting kind of thing happen. We have Abram, who's just, you know, basically been told, we're told the scripture says that, you know, he believed the Lord, it was credited to him as righteousness. He's like, all right, you're going to build this heir. And then his wife comes up and has cooked, I don't know where she cooked this plan up, But she's like, well, I can't have kids. I'm super old too. So you know what? Maybe you should, you know, get with my maidservant. What was Abram thinking? Like, did he, I don't know what he was thinking. Was he thinking, well, maybe this is how God's going to do this? Or maybe he's thinking, well, you know, again, he's like, that Hagar's been looking good. I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. But we do know that this was not God's plan. So there had to have been something where he knew that this wasn't exact. He didn't inquire of the Lord and say, well, God, is this actually you? Is this how you're going to do this? Is this how you want me to become a father of nations and let the Lord speak into it? No, he just said, all right, sounds good to me. Let's give it a shot. And as we know, it had major, major implications. Major implications. And, you know, in some ways, I definitely feel for Hagar. I feel that, you know, again, here's her, basically her boss, her, you know, the one that she's working for, the one she's endowed to, and, you know, she's given to this man in marriage and gets impregnated, not by her choice. And then, you know, she gets a little cocky, gets a little conceited, and then gets mistreated from Sarai. So you have this kind of like, all of a sudden, there's just a lot of complex dynamics that happen. And then as we know that gives birth to Ishmael. And as we know, Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. There's something that happens generationally. You know, I mean, what we're seeing right now, the tension between Ishmael and Isaac still continues today. This fighting, this backbiting, this, you know, this tension, this conflict, this is thousands and thousands and thousands of years old. I mean, these things, this had broad and sweeping implications. It's just interesting to me that, you know, as I think about my own life and us here, you know, are there times that we've taken matters into our own hands? Where we felt like maybe God took a little bit too long, or, you know, he didn't show up when he said he was going to show up, or just that we knew we didn't have to inquire of the Lord, so we took matters into our own hands. Let me ask, how does that work out for us? How does that work out for us? Let's just be honest. It doesn't work out for us. When we take matters into our own hands, when we don't take the time to inquire of the Lord, to wait for him and to move according to his word, stuff gets messed up. Stuff gets jacked up. It is just the way that it happens. I mean, I'm not big into formulas. I don't think that we don't have any formulaic relationship with the Lord, but there should be. If we have decisions that we need to make, if there's things that are on our mind, we can take it to the Lord, pray about it, wait and listen, and move according to what he says. It's like, do you have a green light, a yellow light? Do you have a red light? Pay attention. These things are, God is not hiding things from us. He's not a God who's intentionally keeping us hidden from his will and his desires and good things in our lives. He's a God who says, interact with me. But you know what? You might not like everything that I have to say. You might not want to do everything that I'm calling you to do. And so it's our choice to take matters into our own hands or not. And as we know from the life of Abraham and Ishmael, that turned out to have a lot of very broad sweeping implications that were very painful. I think it's part of our fallen nature to want to be in control. I mean, trace this back to the Garden of Eden when the serpent came and started tempting Eve to say, you know, did God really say this? You know, he knows that if you eat of this fruit, you're going to be like him. Don't you want to be like him? He said, well, yeah, I kind of do, actually. That sounds pretty good. I'm going to take that matter into my own hands. Again, it's about taking things out of our own hands and placing them into his hands. And on a daily basis, we need to crucify our flesh. We need to come before the Lord. And those things that feel heavy, those things that feel confusing, those things that we just need guidance, and take them to him and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, take these things. What do you want me to do inquire of the Lord. And this is a big step that Abraham missed. He didn't inquire of the Lord. But we do see that that God is also a God of, this isn't the end of the story. He could have washed his hands and been done and said, you know what, hold on a second, Abram. I didn't tell you to do that, you dummy. He didn't say, I'm done with you. What did he do? He came and he reiterated his covenant with Abram, and he actually changed his name. And in chapter 17, it's interesting because Abram's name gets changed to Abraham. So why this name change? So interestingly enough, this name Abram, it's basically kind of in the original language, in the original Hebrew, it means like exalted father. Or you could say like a favored father. So Abram is exalted father, favored father. Avraham, or Abraham, is father of nations. So Abraham actually means father of nations. And so he comes to Abram and says, I'm going to change your name from exalted father to father of nations. He did something similar to Sarai, changed her name to Sarah. And so Sarah basically means like mother. And then mother of turned it into mother of nations, or princess to princesses, princess to princes, or like mother of nations. So changes her name. So basically he goes and he changes their names to signify something that he wanted to do in their lives. I feel like that for some of us, God wants to change our name. And maybe that's not necessarily like a literal name change. Maybe we're bearing the name of something that we shouldn't bear. Maybe that we call ourselves, our identity is something that it shouldn't be. Maybe we're bearing and walking in an identity or a name. We carry around a name. Maybe that name is abused, victim, less than, stupid, ugly. Put whatever name that we are carrying around, maybe God wants to change our name. Maybe God is bringing us to a season and a time where he says, I want to give you a new name. I don't know, it's just something for us to think about, that God does, when he's doing new things, he tends to give new names, right? He gave Simon Peter, he was Simon, then he gave his name Peter. The name Simon means one who hears from the Lord. I think that's a pretty good name. I like that name. Peter, Cephas, means rock. So he's adding on to his name. So he's not just saying, you're not going to be just one who hears from me. You're going to be one who I'm going to build my church upon. So Abraham, you're not going to be just an exalted father, which you are. You're going to be father of nations. Sarah, you're not just going to be a mom. You're going to be the mother of nations. And again, he's saying this before that there's even this birth. It's just incredible. It's incredible that the Lord is so gracious. He's so kind to us. And we also know that the Hagar did bear a son. Sarah did bear a son. But with this, after this son came, God really wanted to establish this covenant of circumcision. And this is kind of one of those interesting things in Scripture as we see. This is kind of, if we're honest, I don't know, I kind of grew up thinking it was kind of strange. I don't know if anybody else is like, oh yeah, you know, that's completely, you know, I understand all of it. But listen, it is kind of an interesting, kind of an unusual thing. There had not been circumcision before this, and God himself institutes a circumcision. And so as we know, a circumcision typically happens on the eighth day. And on the eighth day, the foreskin of the male's genitalia is removed. So there's this cutting and this bloody kind of messy removal of this foreskin. It's a very interesting, very different kind of a thing. And it kind of maybe has us asking the questions, well, what is it about circumcision? What is it? What is it? Why circumcision? Why not something else? It's interesting. One pastor put it this way. God commanded Abraham to apply the sign of circumcision to the male reproductive organ, since in procreation, spiritual corruption passes from generation to generation. This corruption started with Adam and spread to all his posterity, Christ alone excluded. Since all have received a sin nature from Adam, God promised that he would deal with that corruption and bring renewal by means of a bloody judgment. In this way, circumcision was typifying the covenant promises of the gospel. Listen, there was a shedding of blood. There was it was messy and bloody. It was to be this outward and permanent, unreversible sign of God's covenant with his people. They were to be different. Different than the rest. But this was a sign, and it was also prophetic. How many of us know the things, again, like we've talked about, things in the natural speak of things in the spiritual? It was prophetic. God wants to speak to us. This circumcision was really bloody and messy. Reminds us of another bloody and messy event that took place. Listen, the spilling of blood, like the sacrificial system, like, I mean, we might look back on that and be like, oh yeah, you know, they sacrificed animals. That was like, some of us would be absolutely disgusted. I don't know if you've ever seen like a slaughter like that. That's very bloody. It's very disturbing or disrupting, especially if you're not around that. That slaughtering of animals and all this kind of stuff, and something about this blood. The scripture teaches that life is in the blood. And the blood that Yeshua, Jesus, spilt for us, he took all of the weight, all of the sin, all of the shame, all of the guilt, all of that stuff, and he put that on himself. He said, I'm going to be the once and for all Lamb of God. There's going to be a bloody, messy sacrifice, but this is going to be one that makes you clean and makes you faultless and blameless before the Lord. And so this covenant of circumcision was something that was pointing, it was a sign, it was a wonder, it was a shadow and a type of something that was to ultimately be fulfilled through Yeshua. And he not only that, but he gave us a new seed. We became the seed of righteousness. All of a sudden, we become heirs of salvation. We'd be able to receive the things, the good things that God has for us because of the Lord. Now, this act of circumcision, obviously, is something that happens out in the physical. And this became, as we probably know, in early church history, the foundations of the body of Yeshua. This was a real hot-button issue. There was a lot of disagreement. There was a lot of even misuse in the time of Yeshua when he's in the book of Acts, as we know from the epistles in Acts 15:1, you can turn to that if you want to. Acts 15:1, some men came down from Judea to Antioch where we were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And as we know that, they kind of came against this. They came against this and they were disputed. Paul and Barnabas came against this teaching and they said that that's actually not the case, that you don't have to do this. But this was kind of a big hot button issue in the body at the time. And there was a lot of disagreement about this outward circumcision. You know, you can look at Galatians 11 through 16 if you want some more on that. But for time's sake, just want to say this. The inward circumcision of our hearts is something that God genuinely cares about. This circumcision, this removal of things from our hearts, and Romans talks about this. Romans 2:29 talks about this in the New Covenant. It says this, And this is, I'm going to back up real quick and start in 28. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, this is 29. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is a circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. There's something about this circumcision of our hearts, this removal of these things, this consecration that God wants us to have in our hearts. And I believe that as Abraham was faithful to do this to all of the sons and living in his household and to himself as well, and instituted this, is this prophetic sign of the, I'm cutting away the old and I want to embrace what God has for me. I'm sanctifying myself for the Lord. We're not going to be a people that are like everybody else. We're going to be a people that are set apart, that are different. And I believe that God is looking for us to really have circumcised hearts, to have hearts that are sanctified, set apart for him, and say, Lord, I move through my life in a new way. And no matter where we're at in our spiritual journey, our walk with the Lord and our dialogue, God wants to take us deeper and further. Amen. He wants to do more in our lives. He wants us to know him more. He wants us to relate to him more. And I believe that he wants us to be like Abraham, who believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. He wants us to take him at his word and follow after what he has for us. Man, God's got amazing things planned for us. Amen. Do you actually believe that? Some of us maybe believe it. Some of us are like, yeah, maybe not. Let's be honest. How we live our life will ultimately say what we believe about what God has said. But God wants us to believe our life, to be believing believers. We don't have to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. Abraham was far from perfect. But God moved in his life. He believed God. And listen, the thing that I love probably most about Abraham, the thing that I love most about David, the thing about I love most about these, about Moses and Aaron and Joshua and all of these wonderful believers in the Bible, that they had a heart for the Lord. And it is the heart issues. It's the issues of the heart. It's a genuine love for God. It's a genuine love for people that God, that absolutely like covers so much of our weakness and our brokenness and our mess. Man, Abraham, he jacked up. He messed a lot of things up and he lied. He was afraid. He took matters into his own hands. But God loved the guy. We need to remember that God wants our hearts. There's something about passion for God. There's something about passion for Jesus, for Yeshua. There's something about this passionate love relationship. I love you, Lord. I want to be with you. That actually our love for him becomes so large that we don't want to do this other kind of junk. We don't want to be following in another way. But it's also those things where God says, come to me. You don't have to be perfect. I want your heart. I want your heart. So wherever we're at today, why don't we just stand and give our hearts over to the Lord. Let's tell the Lord we want him to circumcise our hearts again. He knows the areas that we drop the ball. He knows that we're a mess sometimes. He knows that our lives are full of ups and downs. And some of us he has in a journey where it's kind of like, we're like, I don't know where I'm going. Like Hebrews 11 talked about Abraham didn't even know where he was going. He said, yes. In the midst of that, God wants to be our shepherd. He wants to guide us and lead us. Let us know that we're not alone. It's good for us to remember these things. These might be things that we already know. And I hope we don't have hearts to say, well, you know, I already know about Abraham. I've learned about his life, heard these kind of things. I know that God's a good shepherd. I know that he leads us, and that's great. That's nice. No, like God is looking for our hearts. And we must be reminded. We have to be reminded because we forget. So I believe this morning that God just wants us to remember him. So why don't we pray? Okay. Well, Father, we do want to remember you today. We want to remember that you are good. We want to remember the life of Abraham. And here's a man that you brought out. You brought out of this place and you called him to a land that he didn't even know where he was going. And that probably maybe felt a little frightening. Going into the unknown things, going to hard places can feel scary for us, Lord. And we also know that Abraham believed you and you credited it to him as righteousness. Lord, we want to take you at your word. In our lives, Lord, we want to believe you. Lord, whatever circumstances that we're facing today, whether that's a circumstance with a family member or a friend, something going on at work, something going on at school, with a relationship, something where we just feel really challenged, we want to take the time to listen to you, allow you to speak through your Holy Spirit and through your word. And we want to be like Abraham, he's believed what you said. So help us, Lord, to take the time to listen to you, to believe what you say. And I believe that even for some of us, God, you want to change our name, that we're wearing a false identity of something that we're actually not. Or maybe there's something just more that you want to give to us. Maybe it says the name that we bear right now isn't bad per se, but you want to do more. Would you speak to us, Lord? Would you speak to us about what it is that you have for us? We know that, Lord, every single day is a gift from you, and every single day is not promised to us here on earth. We don't know how many days we get in total, but we want to use them faithfully to be in connection with you, to care about you and to serve and to love you and your purposes. And we know that it's your will that nobody perishes, but everybody has everlasting life. That there is just countless people here who don't know you yet, Lord. Maybe you're calling some of us to be evangelists. Maybe you're calling some of us to go to that unknown land of evangelism and to tell people about Yeshua, to be a witness. Maybe this holiday season, whether that's Thanksgiving or some other time, maybe you want us to say something to one of our family members or to our friends. Maybe you want us to do something that we've never done and that feels scary and maybe unfamiliar, but you're looking for our obedience. And Lord, we want to circumcise our hearts afresh to you today. We want to say, Lord, take away anything that's not from you. Lord, I know in my own life, there's sayings that you want to just take away. You say, Simon, sometimes you don't act like me here. Would you surrender that? And Lord, I want to surrender that to you. And I believe that for all of us, that there's things in our lives that you want us to just surrender, give you permission to circumcise and to cut off, to remove so that we can have hearts that are blameless and pure before you. And we thank you that it's not because of anything that we can do in and of our own. It's not any outward wearings or any outward actions, Lord, but it's really a gift of grace to be able to receive. And we want to receive all the good gifts of grace that you have for us. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We bless you in your wonderful name. B'Shem Yeshua, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Abraham was a cool guy with a lot of kids, a lot of grandkids. Well, we're going to conclude by the singing of Father Abraham Had Many Sons. I don't know if you guys sing that in Sunday school or I sing that a lot as a kid. But there's something beautiful and wonderful about the blessings of God. And when we listen and obey, even if things look like, how could this even happen? You know, Abraham was 93 years old when Isaac was born. You don't know any 93-year-olds? I mean, yeah? Yeah, you know one. Okay, she's got a cousin that's 93. Can you imagine that cousin having some kids right now? Ooh-wee! Their kids, his kids are in the 50s. But, you know, I mean, listen, that is wild. And this is, these are those kind of things. This actually happened. And so our circumstances and things in life, what is it to the Lord? And things in his hands become amazing. And I love what the dance team danced today with that Ezekiel. And these dry bones can have flesh on them. And so those dry bones, may they receive life today. If your body needs life, may you receive life. May you receive the blessing. And as we close with the Aaronic blessing, may the Lord really pour out his blessings upon you. Let's just hold our hands out if you're comfortable doing that. And we're going to just receive this as a blessing from the Lord today. And Lord, thank you just as you commanded this blessing and commanded Aaron to bless the people. We just recite this again, Lord, receiving your blessing over our lives. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the Lord grant you his peace. And in the Hebrew, Yivareh Adonai Yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'yikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'asem lecha shalom. May you go forth in the peace and the blessing of your Lord and Savior, Yeshua, who cares for you and blesses you and is with you always. B'Shem Yeshua, amen. 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 Have a great week. All right, we'll see you next week.